This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast with DeAndre Koch, brought to you by Boldly Go. Beyond being the founder of Boldly Go, DeAndre has a deep expertise in financial planning through owning his own financial planning firm. This finance background has provided him unique insights, enabling him to navigate the travel landscape with ease and is considered a renowned travel hacker. On this podcast, we're all about assisting adventurous travelers and budding explorers in tackling their travel hurdles, teaching luxury travel hacking strategies, and highlighting the busy professionals that still find time and ways to get away. Expect travel tips, unforgettable destination stories, and guidance on maximizing your rewards points. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and become an expert luxury travel hacker yourself. This is your journey, but our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am DeAndre Koch, your host of this podcast, and I have with me today my favorite travel partner and girlfriend, Taryn, who's going to be joining us, and we're going to be highlighting our trip to the Dominican Republic that we just took a couple weeks ago to the area of Bayahibe. So I'm super excited to have Taryn on board for this episode. I do actually want to make a quick mention as well. In one of my early episodes, I was talking about the Boldly Go team, and really I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Taryn's actually been super helpful in the development of the Boldly Go brand, and especially the marketing aspects of it as well. With her background in marketing, it's been really helpful for us. So I did want to actually mention that she is part of the team as well. I'd be remiss if I didn't have her included also. But let's get into it, Taryn. Talk about the Dominican Republic. Now, one thing I want to mention to the listeners out there, I know I often talk about travel hacking. This was not done as a travel hack, so we didn't do any crazy point strategy for this. But I will share a couple hacks at the end if you're thinking, hey, that sounds like a great time. I want to go down to the Dominican Republic. Here, I'm going to share a couple of ideas at the end of how you could do so or where you can stay and the points required to do so. So, Taryn, this trip, actually, you pretty much planned the location and the hotel, which actually you do a lot of times for our trips. What made you choose Bayahibe, this part of the Dominican Republic?
Thank you for the credit. And yes, I've been to the DR with my family growing up many times. And one thing that we learned as people who are avid snorkelers, my father is a fisherman and our family is very into that, is other parts of the DR are not as corally friendly, as we could say. The coral reefs are the most beautiful in Bayahibe, and you have the most gorgeous reefs, the most flourishing marine life, and the best fishing, if you're also into that. So when we said diving and a trip, I was like, well, we have to go to Bayahibe, because from all of the experience I've had, that is the place to go if you want to see some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. That was, and I know for both of us, we've both been to the Dominican Republic a few times. I think you've been five, six times, something like that.
Yeah.
And for me, I think this was my fourth or fifth time there. I actually have family that are in Santo Domingo there as well. And so we flew into Punta Cana, but this was actually about an hour drive from Punta Cana. And something I think we should talk about is the arrival experience as far as transportation goes when it comes to getting to the resort, because we ended up landing late, and that was because of flight delays, which thankfully was only about an hour late. But you opted to go for the Uber, which, you know, I wasn't opposed to, because they said, right, we have Uber. But that experience was very different, because when we got there, do you want to tell a story? You want me to?
Well, first I want to clarify that Punta Cana is not the only option if you want to fly and go to Bayahibe. There is an airport in La Romana, which is very tiny, and it's kind of outside and kind of cool, but it's very small. So there was another option that just didn't work out with hacking, really, and deals and budgeting.
Yeah, we're not typically going to find a good flight price to the smaller airport usually. So yeah, Punta Cana is usually a lot cheaper to fly into as well.
Exactly. I'd just be remiss if I didn't mention that that option was there for those that don't want to have that extra travel, especially once they hear about our experience. No, I had Googled it before we went about Uber, like I usually do. Like, is there an Uber in this country? And is this something that we can use? And it was kind of mixed. It was like, well, you know, you can use Uber in Punta Cana, but not the rest. And I was a little confused about what that meant. And we learned after scheduling that Uber and walking outside with our bags. And then the guy was like, yeah, that's not what's happening.
Yeah. I know he basically, so when you come out of the airport there, so after you go through customs and immigration, which for us wasn't bad, I've heard people that waited in that line for like an hour, they ended up, we had to walk past all the people that are yelling at us, taxi, taxi, taxi. And of course, we're like, no, we got a ride. We have a ride. We have a ride. And that's really common. I mean, you fly into Mexico or a lot of the places in the Caribbean, like that's the experience when you, after you get your luggage. And a guy kind of like comes up to us. He's like, hey, are you Taryn? And I was actually kind of impressed that he located us. And he said, yeah, you know, we said yes. And he said, okay, well, we have to go over here because Uber is actually not allowed on the airport grounds. and so I run with a transportation company and we have to take official like transportation vehicle off the airport grounds. So it was super shady, but I mean, we already had the ride. He basically showed that he was the Uber driver, essentially proved that, you know, there was a connection and we got in the ride. And so I'd say we had a nice hour long ride, but it really wasn't super nice, was it?
I mean, he was a bit of a character. He was very enthusiastic in trying to play music that we both love, but we were dead tired. It was one of the more interesting rides I think we've had internationally, at least for me.
I definitely say he seemed like he was stimulated, maybe by not substances that are fully legal. But he got us there, which is really all that matters. And so we showed up to the Catalonia Royale La Romana, which is an adults only hotel or resort, all inclusive resort. It's tied to or connected to a much larger Catalonia resort that is very much so not adults only, you know, kids everywhere, but the adults only is very sectioned off. And so I know we had some goals, right? So it was relaxing, sun and sand, diving, you know, it was a lot of great things. I mean, I know, Taryn, you picked that location, you picked the spot. I thought you did a great job.
Thanks. We also said we wanted something that wasn't too far away and that wasn't going to break the bank. And I think the DR is the ultimate, honestly, in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. Dominican Republic, super inexpensive. Traveling there, not expensive at all. And yeah, so let's talk about the resort, first of all, right? So Catalonia Royale. So Catalonia itself is a chain of resorts. So they have resorts all over the world, mostly in Caribbean and like Spain. That was kind of an interesting aspect there, especially because we were just in Spain earlier. But Taryn, you ended up getting us the room we had, which I'll let you talk about that because it was really cool.
Yeah, I picked the Catalonia, and it's one of many Spanish-owned resorts in the Caribbean, just like Iberostar. I mean, a lot of the really prominent hotel and resort brands in the Caribbean DR are based in Spain, based on Spanish provinces, etc. But I found this place, and it had really good reviews. It was in the perfect location, and honestly, that's probably what I looked at the most, is that it was in the perfect location with excellent reviews at a great price. And that's kind of hard to argue with, especially with the goals we had on this trip, which was relaxing, somewhere close, somewhere to dive. So we were right near the best place to dive in all the DR. And on top of that, we were able to stay at a place that's all inclusive, adults only, and a very well-known brand. I thought it was definitely worth it with the room we got, which they said was the top of the line. And in terms of what we spent per night, I mean, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, we had a two-story villa with a pool. And it was really interesting because our first floor of our room was essentially kind of the top floor of the building that we were in. Not truly top, but the top floor that you could get into a room on, which was nice. And we had our own kind of pool up there as well. And we've stayed at a lot of really great places. And this place was really inexpensive. I don't remember the full price that we paid, but the price per night, I think we did the math and it was like maybe $400 a night or something like that for two people, all inclusive. Wasn't too far off. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think you said it was like $350. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really wasn't bad at all. So, you know, again, not a huge travel hack, but we were able to get away for a week, sun and sand, all inclusive, and really not have to fork out a ton of cash for two adults, which was nice. Before, I know we're going to talk about the diving, because the diving was, that was incredible. And there's a lot of experiences about it, which was great. Overall thoughts on the resort. What did you think? I know we had a cool room. There were pros, there were cons. You give me your synopsis.
Just like everything, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I really liked the adults only area, which was very much relaxed. It was quiet. We had the hydrotherapy pool, which was awesome. There's a bunch of different bars and restaurants on site. And again, the location was superb. So overall, I was really pleased with where we were, especially with what our goals were, and just being able to have a beautiful beach, beautiful location, and a really nice place that we were at.
So, where we stayed actually was really interesting because our building was closest to the restaurants and closest to the entertainment plaza and where the swim-up pool bar is for the adults-only section. But conversely, it was the farthest from the beach. And so we had to walk through the grounds, which were really, really beautiful. It was about a 4-minute walk, though, to the beach. So if you're looking for a place where like you're opening the door of your balcony and you're seeing the beach, this was not it, which we had just experienced that almost 2 months before in Mexico. So that wasn't a problem at all. But they also had a nice little trolley system, golf cart, which they would bring you to the beach back and forth if you'd like. But the beach area was pretty nice as well. Overall, Taryn, I was pretty pleased with the food. Wasn't out of this world amazing. A couple of the restaurants were good. Others were okay. Really, the only negative I have, I think, from the food that I remember was the room service. And that was the first night we got there. We were both starving because it was our flight was delayed. And I know you are much more a fan of, you know, when we get there, let's order room service. I was like, let's go to the buffet. Well, the room service option won, and then our food never came. And after calling probably 17 times, and for the listeners out there, I speak fluent Spanish. So I'm also pleading with them in Spanish that I'm hungry and please bring sustenance. Eventually, food finally did come and it was very bland and they brought no condiments and no... It was not ideal. So only really negative I remember on the food is the room service. But besides that, I think the food was pretty good, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially for an all-inclusive. If you're at an all-inclusive, you got to give them a little slack, I feel like, because of the way that the food is served. I am not going to forgive them for the room service, which, you know, is kind of a hot mess, but I've gotten past it. And there was a lot of other redeeming qualities of the resort, which definitely shone through. And it was like, you know what? We just won't do room service.
For sure. So that was a one and done. We didn't even try to order that again. But there's, a lot of other great things. I like the hydrotherapy pool was really cool because you don't really see that often in resorts. The swim-up bar on the adults-only side was very, very quiet, which if you're looking to go a place that's lively, this wasn't it. I made the mistake of just wanting to get more lively and going to the open pool where there's all the kids and everyone, because I thought it was going to be more lively. And it was, but we lasted about less than one drink before we were tired of kids screaming at the top of their voice and being splashed on all of our stuff getting wet. And it was chaotic. Not that we're anti-kids by any means at all, but it was a lot. It was absolutely a lot. And even the parents that or the adults that were there that didn't have access to the adults only section, they were also kind of being rude, not letting us get to the bar for drinks. And it was just not ideal. But we did find a happy space by the beach. There was a beach bar there. It was really cool. Sushi bar right next to the beach bar. We had beds on the beach. They had service there. And we were quite literally about 20 steps from the beach, and we stayed there. I remember one whole afternoon, almost a day, just laying on a bed by the beach and enjoying drinks and getting in the water when we got hot, and it was awesome.
Honestly, in a lot of places that we've been, even like Ibiza, it's like that's an upsell to have a bed on the beach, and that's something that comes included. Again, another value of this property is if you're in the adult section, you have the beds that you can just go to. It's included, which was really cool because generally you have to either purchase something, a bottle, a service, et cetera, to have the same kind of amenities in comparative locations. Not all locations, but a lot of them, it's just not something that you just get. So it was definitely really cool.
I thought it was great. One thing I think can't go without being stated, though, is the staff.
Oh, yeah.
The people there were incredible in a lot of different places, in a lot of different ways, really had a blast. They knew how to party. They took care of us. We also tipped them well, but the different bartenders just made it a treat. They knew us. We were there for about a week. By day two, they were looking out for us. I think that the staff there was really what made the place a lot. It gave it extra credit for sure.
Oh, it was really special because they made you feel like you had butler service when it's not included. It's not a butler service place. But the fact that they went to the store to get the strawberries that you wanted in the mojito and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. That was so incredible. So the story behind that was, they had their different flavored mojitos, and I'll speak of the fact that I've never seen a place with more passion fruit in my life, and which is Taryn's favorite drink. And so Taryn probably had a few gallons of actual passion fruit seeds and everything on the trip, which is awesome. But I love strawberries, and in their menu they said that they had like strawberry mojito, and I said, I'd like to have a strawberry mojito. This was like day two, and they were like, we're out. And so I just went to each bar I'd go up to, and I was like, hey, like, do you have a strawberry? Like, sorry, we're out. And I even went to the other bars in the other part of the resort, because as adults only, we had access to the entire resort, but no one else had access to the adults only. And every bar I went to, they said they were out. And so I went back up to the lobby bar, and I was like, man, I've been really trying to get strawberries everywhere, and it sounds like the whole resort's out. And the bartender, I think her name was Huma Hell, she was like, don't worry, I got you. I was like, okay. Came back the next day, went to the bar, and she said, hey, I went to the store. I bought these. They're under guard. Only you can request these, and only you can get them.
VIP strawberries.
I know, VIP strawberries. And they were like fresh from the market. And so for the whole rest of the trip, they never restocked them for the whole resort. They literally had small cartons of strawberries just for me at this one bar. And that was a really cool experience. And like I said, like hands off to them to be able to do something like that. I think that was utterly incredible. Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Koch interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to travel hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50%, and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show.
Yeah, that's why I think that they went above and beyond with service, because that's the kind of thing you expect your butler to do. Like on a experience where you have a butler. This was just the people at the bar going, you like this? Let me get it for you. And that made it really special. And we met some really cool people there too.
We did. We met a lot of cool people, made friends from London, friends from Canada. And so excited to hopefully get a chance to connect with them in the future, on future travels as well. But got to talk about some highlights, or a big highlight, I should say, which was the diving. Mm-hmm. And Tara and I, we've been diving in different parts around the world. And we've seen, I'd say, the good and the bad when it comes to dive companies and the quality of the dive group that you're working with. And well, Taryn, I'll let you mention how you found Scuba Fun, because we Google searched dive places and there was 10 different options, and you're the one that figured out how to narrow it down to this place. And I'll let you share how.
Well, as you know, I'm a big fan of the Facebook groups for niche things. So I'm in quite a few scuba groups, including like Scuba Women and Girls That Scuba, which are female only. That's why he's not able to look at it. But I trust a lot of the advice that I get from those groups. And over again, when people would talk about the DR in general, not even Bayahibe, they'd be in Punta Cana, and people would say, you have to go to Scuba Fun DR. And they're like, that's an hour away. They pick you up. And everyone was just raving about Johnny, the operator, and the dive masters and the whole experience. And while we had a lot of options that were close, I could tell because of the rave reviews on every single one of these groups and platforms that everyone only had great things to say about Scuba Fun. So that was the clear winner.
Yeah, and they were great. So we did 2 days with them. The first day we did two dives, which were just general reef dives. So we went to around 60 feet on the deepest dive there.
It's Catalina Island and the wall and the aquarium.
That it was. Yep. So the wall and the aquarium. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was a whole day excursion, this one. So it's a much longer day. We went to Isla Catalina, or Catalina Island, where they then cooked us a whole lunch. We got to hang out on the beach there, walk around the island, you know, jump in the water, beach. It was really cool. They had like a beach bar as well. So that was a really cool thing that even if you're not a diver, you could do. They have day trips to Catalina Island. There's snorkeling trips that you can do. So it's a really cool place. And then the second day, we did some wreck dives. So I was working on my wreck diving certification. I needed to complete two dives. And so we were able to not only do these two dives and the one I needed to complete my certification, but also for both of us, our deepest dive ever, which was the St. George. It sits in about 160 feet of water, and we went down to 120 feet, which for anyone that's a diver knows, that's, you know, anything past 100's deep. So we went to 120, which was awesome. It's really cool seeing a giant monstrosity of metal under the water and the life that's around it. I know, Taryn, this was your first wreck that you've experienced in a dive in general.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was definitely my first wreck, and I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. I have not taken a wreck course, so I was not knowing what to expect, but these were beautiful dives. I mean, it was so cool going the deepest I've ever dove and seeing something so mammoth under the water. Although I think I enjoyed the Atlantic Princess better, even though I know it wasn't as deep.
But oh, I would agree with you. Yeah, I would agree with you.
We saw those giant barracudas just chilling right there. There's like bigger than both of us.
Yeah, these were like 5-6 feet long barracudas. There's like a pair of them hanging out around us. And, you know, barracudas aren't aggressive unless they could be aggressive. You have something shiny on you, shiny metal object on you. But yeah, that was, it was also a much shallower dive. So there was, you don't have to focus on your breathing so much. You could enjoy the life around you. It's a much more calmer experience than, you know, a more testy dive where you're really pushing the elements there.
Yeah, I enjoyed both dives, but I think I would have never guessed it. I enjoyed Atlantic Princess more. I just felt like I saw more stuff and it was just more relaxed. And again, I wasn't as worried about my breathing, but that's probably because I'm a novice. I'm going to get there. But it was beautiful. It was my first wreck experience and I loved it.
Yeah, no, it was really great. We saw the spotted eagle ray We saw that.
That was day one.
That was day one. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we saw some good life. The Barracudas were cool. We did see the Ray in the Sand as well. So, you know, the diving was awesome. But what I really liked was Johnny was really cool. His company was awesome. All the guides were awesome. They cared about us. The boat was really nice, especially day one, the one that we took to Isla Catalina. He kind of went out of his way to help me get these rec certification dives. So this wasn't something, these dives weren't on the agenda. I just reached out and said, hey, I've been needing these dives for a really long time. If you could help, that would be great. And he said, hey, I'll take care of you. And he did. Really great guy. We even, you wanted some local Dominican food when we, right?
Yeah, I did. I was like, can we get some good food right after our dive that's local, like not on the resort? Just, you know, want to immerse ourselves every time in something local. And I was like, I really want some of this Dominican chicken. And he hooked us up. So that was fun.
He did. Yeah. We went on a little walk through the town. He had a guy take us right to where they were. And yeah, we got our dine on a little street side cafe there. So overall, Dominican Republic, great experience. Again, we didn't do a ton of travel hacking for this. This is really just for getting us a chance to relax, to enjoy some sun, some warm weather, because it's cold right now being winter. So, you know, just getting a chance to get away for a little bit. On our way back, another highlight, which you had looked up and you were super excited for, was the lounge. And this is a bit of a hack because without utilizing our knowledge of travel and credit cards and resources and some travel hacking, we would have never even known about this place or gotten in. I'll let you talk about it.
Well, I only knew to look at the lounges because of all that you've taught me, to be fair.
Thank you.
So now I make it a habit of when we're going to be at an airport for any kind of layover, I'm like, well, what kind of lounges we got going on? And before we even left, I looked and it was a priority pass lounge in the Punta Cana airport, which has an outdoor pool. And we have had some outdoor lounges before. Antigua, right?
Yeah, Antigua is the only one that was like uncovered outside. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. And it was like, what? Like they have an actual pool right by the tarmac. Like, all right, I'm going to bring my bathing suit. I'm getting ready for this. This is just fun. Like, when else can I say that I've been in a pool watching airplanes take off? So I was like, D, we have to do this.
Which we did. I mean, because also granted, that was the only lounge for us to use as well. So it worked out. Some of the downsides with the lounge, unfortunately, a lot of lounges, it's pretty much unlimited drinks or food. There, they limited you for two drinks, and then you have to pay beyond that, which is fine. We weren't there for too long. But that's where travel hacking and knowledge of travel allows you to be more comfortable, right? Because we were very fine getting to the airport. Instead of being depressed that we had to leave our resort, we were very comfortable with getting to the airport, getting there with enough time to get checked in, be comfortable, and then go to the lounge and sit, enjoy some food, some beverages. Literally, Taryn is in a bathing suit in a pool as planes are pulling up under us as well, because the pool is like elevated on an upper deck, which was awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah. And you can actually get into a lounge like this essentially for free because as part of Priority Pass, like Taryn said, and Priority Pass, you have access to with the Amex Platinum card and the Chase Sapphire Reserve card as well. It's included. So when we talk about those annual fees, that is included. Part of your fee pays for things like Priority Pass, which allows you to get into world-class lounges like the one in the Punta Cana Airport in the Dominican Republic, where you can literally hang out in a pool and enjoy a drink while you wait for your flight. So if your flight's delayed or whatever it may be, or you're the type that you have to get to the airport early, you're not sitting in a cold terminal just, you know, watching YouTube on your phone waiting for the plane to pull up. So that is why we stress that you have to get an enjoyment out of travel. And, you know, there are hacks that are available for the DR as well. So a couple of them that I'll run through, at least as of this recording, is to look at the Hyatt chain of resorts and hotels, right? And the reason why is because you can get a really good quality stay for very little points. So there is the Hyatt, Ziva, and Zilara. Those are adults only. And those are really highly rated. And they're only 35,000 Hyatt points a night. And they're category E, right? So in all-inclusive in the Hyatt world of hotels, they have categories A through F, F being the best. This is an E, so it's second best. 35K points for an adults-only stay at a very highly rated resort, all-inclusive. But let's say you want to bring the kids, right? That's where Dreams can come into play. There's Dreams Onyx and Dreams Dominicus. Those are category B, so they're not going to be as high-end as like the Hyatt Ziva, but also you'll be able to bring your kids, and those rooms start at like 17,000 points a night. Right, so you can get a lot of value there at 17,000 points at a Dreams. I'm talking the same Dreams that you see in the commercials, right? You're getting that in the Dominican Republic. But you could even take adults only a step down and go with Breathless if you like more of the party vibe, or Secrets if you like more of the relaxing vibe. And those are going to be around 17 to 20,000 points. So imagine this. Let's just say you went ahead and you followed our advice and followed the podcast and previous posts on Facebook or whatever it may be, and you went out and got the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Chase Sapphire Reserve, and you worked on getting that 60,000 point signup bonus. That signup bonus got you 60,000 points because you spent $4,000 in normal course of spending, because you got to be responsible. That's the key, right? I'm not telling you to go out and blow $4,000 necessarily, but over the course of 3 months, you spent $4,000 on this card and you got 60K points, right? Well, those Chase points very easily and very quickly transfer to Hyatt. So you can now use that 60K points to get you, if you wanted, a 3 nights at an all-inclusive in the DR. For not just you, but you and your significant other, you and your travel partner, you and your family, your kids, whoever it may be, and you guys can have an experience of a lifetime. And that fee on that card, if it's the Chase Sapphire Preferred, is $99 for the year. If it's Reserve, it's $550 for the year. And you had all these additional benefits. That's where travel hacking comes in, right? So many of these resorts are $500 or more per night, right? So you can save yourself a lot of money by understanding how you can build up, use points, and transfer them. And very interesting thing, this same resort that's $500 a night that you can get through Hyatt at 17,000 points, if you were to go to the Chase portal online, you might spend 33,000 points for that same room. Or if you went through Amex portal, you might spend 50,000 points per night for that same room. So would you rather spend 50,000 points or rather spend 17 to 20,000 points? That's all travel hacking is. It's just understanding how to get the most value out of your points, get the biggest bang. And again, we're here to revolutionize your journey overall on travel. So Taryn, Dominican Republic was awesome. We had a great time. We did some awesome things. Great food, a lot of fun, got our dance on as well. Any other highlights, anything else we should add about the DR before we wrap this one up?
In a non-hacking way, I'm just going to say, like with Catalonia, we booked directly through them because they were not an Amex partner, a Chase partner. And sometimes you just got to follow the best deal, no matter what it is. And within a resort like them, it paid to book direct. It doesn't always pay to book direct, but in this case, it definitely did. But that all depends on what your goals are and what you're trying to do for that vacation. So
perfect. I back that 100%. So for everybody out there, thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on all the social media platforms, especially Instagram. We are always sharing our stories posted live during our travels of where we go, what we're doing, what we're eating, all the fun stuff, the adventures that are happening. Those happen live on our Instagram. Also, feel free to visit the boldlygo.world website. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the cheat sheet breakdown, get the recommended card list for travel hacking, as well as the redemption calculator. Don't forget about that on the side as well. Make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to points. And if you want to use a calculator or have a tool to help you figure that out, that's on the website as well. So with that, Make sure to find your second player for the travel hacking game. It makes it a lot more fun, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for tuning into the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, book a consultation with us. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to set it up and explore more. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boldly Go. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.